Thank you so much for being here this evening as we worship the Lord. Again tonight, and in the days we began the day, we're so thankful for all those who are back with us, have been traveling due to Thanksgiving last week. We're thankful for all of the love that we have for our families, the love that we have for each other. We have a lot of things going on here at Pleasant View in the next several weeks leading up to the end of the year around Christmas. And so be paying attention to those things that we'll be doing and participate in those. We love to involve everyone here in the things that we're doing. We need each other. Every person here at Pleasant View is valuable to the work that we do. And we're here to encourage and help one another and be a blessing as the Lord wants us to be. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, bowing our heads, bowing our hearts, bowing our lives to you. As we go again to the foot of the cross and look up and see Jesus dying for us, and taking that pain, taking that suffering so that we would not be punished for our sins, but that he would take on those things, although he was sinless, although he had no guilt. So now we have no fear of crucifixion for our sins. We have no fear of punishment as Christians. That his blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're so thankful for that blessing. We're thankful for the grace that was shown to us on that day and continues to bless the world. We're thankful for your inspired word, what we call the Bible, that teaches us every day how you speak to us every day through your inspired word. And help us not to neglect your message, but to focus on what you've taught us and what you've told us as you continue to speak to us all the time. We know that we should submit to your will, to your word, and live out the things you would have us do, knowing that that's the best life, because you made our lives, you invented our lives, and you know the purpose for us. And help us to use all the talents and resources that you've given us for your good, to expand the kingdom, and to bring others to you. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for your Spirit. We're thankful that we can go to you in prayer, that you hear our prayers and answer according to your will. Lift up those who are hurting tonight. Strengthen them. Give them healing. Help those who are in times of plenty, in times of prosperity, to understand that everything they have comes from you. Bless our study tonight. May all that is said and done be to your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if I can practice forgiveness if I don't understand what it is. That's one of the great misunderstandings of the world, particularly even among Christians, is that they just don't understand what it means to forgive. They don't even understand what it means to receive forgiveness. To be on that end of that relationship, to be forgiven. A lot of people don't accept forgiveness. A lot of people don't give forgiveness. Probably the most misunderstood thing about forgiveness is that some people think that if I forgive someone, it somehow validates what they did. It makes it right. It makes all the pain that I felt right. It makes it justified. Whatever they did that was wrong, however they sinned, if I forgive them, it means that it's okay. That they should be allowed to do it again. They should be allowed to hurt me over and over and over again. And that's just fine because I forgave them. That's why some people think. That's why they don't forgive. I can't forgive that person because it validates what they did. It justifies it. And I don't want to validate what they did. I don't want to approve it. What they did is always wrong, so I'm never going to forgive. I really do think that is the core, fundamental misunderstanding of forgiveness. It's why people don't do it. Because they think it's about the other person. I think it's about them. They don't think about what forgiveness does to themselves. They don't think about the burden that it lifts, the weight that comes off someone's shoulders. When they say, I forgive, that no longer is going to be an issue between me and that person. It doesn't validate. It doesn't mean they did right. Matter of fact, it means they did something wrong. That's why I have to forgive. And as we'll see tonight, another fundamental thing about forgiveness is that if I don't forgive, God doesn't forgive me. And that's true, really, of all the things that we're given by God. If we're given a blessing from God, we have to give it. We know the Bible says that we love God because He first loved us. We receive the love of God and we give the love of God to other people. If we have financial resources, we use part of that, not just for ourselves and our families, but for the good of others. If we receive patience from somebody, we give patience to somebody else. If we receive a time, whatever we receive from God, we give it. We extend that. Thereby, we represent God. We're acting God-like. We're acting like Christ. And right at the core of all the blessings that we receive that we're supposed to give is forgiveness. Jesus mentioned that in what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Father, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. That those things go hand in hand. It doesn't make sense logically, just on a logic standpoint, to ask God every day to forgive me and believe that He forgives me every day. And yet we have people in our lives that want forgiveness from us every day and we refuse to give it. How many times do you think in your life God has forgiven you? How many times over the course of your decades of living? How many times have you asked God for forgiveness? How many times have you expected that forgiveness because you're a Christian? You know what the Bible says. You know that happened. And now think of your life, think of all your relationships, and think of all the times you've been slighted, you've been hurt, and someone has done something they shouldn't have done. Were you that generous with forgiveness? Were you as quick to forgive as you expect God to forgive you? I can't answer any of those questions because I don't live your life. I'm not you. I don't know all of your relationships and what you've been through in life and all those things. I just know the Bible says that what I get, I have to give. Anything that comes from God to me has got to go out from me. And that's the way people will see Jesus. I can't do it if I don't understand it. And so tonight I want to look at just a couple of passages. We could look at so many that really get at the core of forgiveness and how it is part of all of our, really should be part of all of our relationships. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Peter comes and says to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? So here in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus has just, to catch us up on the context a little bit, Jesus has just talked about relationships and forgiveness. He said, if your brother sins against you, you go to him privately. He says that in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins, go show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Step one. Somebody hurts you, you don't pick up the phone and tell a friend. You don't gossip about that person. You don't go build an army. You don't go get your people together and talk about what they did to you while never talking to the person that offended you about it. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, you go to him in private and see if that works. That's step one. Step two is in verse 16. He says, but if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. They said, if he doesn't listen to you, okay, you bring in a couple of more people to say, this is what happened. I need some witnesses of what's being discussed here. So we've gone from a conversation of two people to a conversation of maybe three or four people. And then we have step three. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let it be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now Jesus says the last thing you do is you take it to everybody, you take it to all the Christians and say, this is what this person did, and they won't acknowledge what they did. I went to them in private, I took witnesses, and now I'm telling you, this is a person who wants to think that sin is okay. And if the church allows somebody to say sin is okay, then that's going to infect the whole church. But of course, we typically do the opposite of what Jesus says. We do that a lot in life anyway. But in this process, we do the exact opposite. Because the first thing we want to do is tell the church. The second thing we want to do is bring in a couple of people. And the last thing we ever do is sit down with that person one-on-one, look them in the eye, and say, you and I have a problem. And we need it resolved. Jesus has just explained this situation, has talked about this process. And then Peter comes up to him, and it's almost as if Peter says, okay, I understand that process. But that's just if it happens once. He says, how often shall I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? How many times are we supposed to go through this process? You know, we know the number seven among the Jews was a number that meant completeness, fullness, and you know, just represented sort of, you've done it all. It's maxed out. He said, what if I forgive somebody not once, twice, three, four, five, six, but seven times? Shall I go up that high? I mean, surely there's a cutoff here. Surely there's a point I can cross my arms, hold a grudge, and never speak to the person again. Jesus answered, you know the answer to this. In verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. We know that Jesus was not talking about a math problem. He wasn't talking about an equation. He wasn't being literal. We talk like this. Jesus used exaggeration. Extreme exaggeration is hyperbole. Hyperbole is you exaggerate to make a point. Jesus is exaggerating here to make a point. He says, Peter says seven times. He says, no, how about 70 times seven? And why would he say that? Is Jesus saying, Peter, I want you to be a doormat. I want people to walk all over you and sin against you and hurt you all day long. There's nothing you can do about it. Why would he say that? We've already talked about why he would say that. Because the Lord's going to forgive us way more than 70 times 7. He said, if I'm going to keep forgiving, you better keep forgiving. Peter probably thought he was really proud of himself. Peter thought, hey, I'm going to forgive seven times. Jesus said, you're not even close. You're not even close. Forgiveness is an attitude of the heart that restores the offender to the state of the offended one. It doesn't validate wrongdoing. It doesn't validate sin. It just says, we're going to go back to where we were. We were like this. We were good, and then something happened to separate us. But I'm going to take that off my heart. I'm going to take that off my shoulders, and we're going to go back to this. Doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean what you did was right. But I'm going to stop losing sleep over it. And we're going to stop talking about it. And we're going to stop holding it against each other. And I'm going to stop holding it against you. The Spanish proverb says to return evil for good is devilish. Somebody gives you something good and you do something bad, that's like the devil would do. And he says to return good for good is human. That's kind of a human thing, isn't it? You do good for me, I do good for you. That's the way human beings are. That's one for one. It's a transaction. But to return good for evil is godly. Somebody does evil to me and I give back good. That's the way God operates. Man has sinned against God. He sent Jesus to die for them. People did evil to God. He did good to them. But we tend to be transactional. We tend to say, well, I'll be good to you if you're good to me. Otherwise, don't expect anything from me. You fix everything first. And if you fix everything in your life first, then we'll start. We'll go from there. Forgiveness is constant. It's overwhelming. It has to happen. It doesn't mean that it's, of course, particularly easy. It's not conditional. It's not conditional. Forgiveness does not come with strings attached. That's another thing that people think about forgiveness, is that, well, I'll forgive you if. If is one of those conditional words. Here's what I'll do. Again, we're getting back to a contract. We're getting back to a transaction. Here, sign the dotted line. Here's some this, this, and this, and this. And if you do all that, then we'll be good. That's the way people do forgiveness. It's not a contract. It's not quid pro quo. That Latin phrase just literally means this for that. This for that. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You give me something, I'll give you something back. So people think that's forgiveness. It's not at all the case. It's not conditional. So many people are so proud of themselves because they think they forgave somebody, but all they did was just give them a list of demands. All they did was say, if you meet this standard, if you get up to this place, then I'll forgive you. That's not to say that some relationships in some ways some things need to happen. Not to say the other person doesn't need to change things. It doesn't mean they don't need to repent, change their life, all those sorts of things. Again, there's not an excuse here. It simply means a forgiveness. Jesus said that forgiveness needs to happen every time it's needed. That's when you forgive. Somebody goes, when do I forgive? Peter asks, how many times? Really, the question is, when? Every time it's needed. Luke chapter 17, in verse 3, Jesus said, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. He repents, forgive him. He sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. And the great statement that comes after that in Luke chapter 17, after Jesus has given them this enormous soul-searching command about forgiveness, he comes to you 7 times a day and says, I need forgiveness. And you forgive. Their response in verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. They knew how hard that would be to do. They didn't say, oh, that's easy. No problem there. No, he said, I need more faith. If I'm going to live like that. Isn't that what we would all say? Isn't that what we'd all say? If the Lord were standing in front of us and said, "How?" You said, when should I forgive? When should forgiveness happen? And he used to say, whenever it's supposed to happen, whenever it's needed. Even 7 times a day. I think we would all respond the same way. Increase our faith. Nero Brownlow said, "He who will not forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass." You have to forgive often because, you know what? You're going to need it. And the very person who you refuse to forgive, you might sin against one day. You might hurt, and you're going to be. I need forgiveness. And they're going to say, "Now wait a minute. Where was this heart in the past? When I needed forgiveness, you didn't give it. What about my brother or sister, my mother, my father, somebody in my family that you held a grudge against for years? And now you're on the other side. And now you want forgiveness." We're all going to be in that situation. We're all going to be in a situation where we need to be forgiven by somebody. And it's going to be a lonely life if we never forgave anybody else. Because that time's going to come and nobody's going to want to extend that. Nobody's going to be willing because they never saw it in you. We all need it. You have to build a bridge so both people can walk back and forth. You're going to tear down that bridge. You can't walk over it either. The bridge has to be maintained. But it goes on to tell a parable in Matthew chapter 18 about forgiveness. It's a great parable. It's a very easy one to understand, as they all were. He'll tell a story to put beside what he's just said about forgiveness. And again, these people are saying, "Increase our faith." He's just told Peter, he says, 70 times 7. And so Jesus said, "Well, let me just explain it to you this way." Verse 23, Matthew 18, he says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all he had, and repayment to be made." Verse 26, "So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. So you do not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you.' And his lord, with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed." And here at the end of this parable, verse 35, Jesus talks about, again, giving what you receive. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So there's a lord, this master that has a slave that owes him all kinds of money. And he pleads with him and says, "Okay." And that same slave goes out with a much smaller amount of money and has a fellow slave thrown into prison. There has to be the bridge, because we all need forgiveness. Since we all need it, we all have to give it. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, who has Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Here again, Paul is writing the Colossians. Jesus has said it in Matthew chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount. He said it here in Matthew 18. He says it over and over again. If you don't forgive, the Lord is not going to forgive you. It's too big of a gift to keep for yourself. It's too big of a gift to say, no, it's just for me, that I am not going to give it. Horace Bushnell said, forgiveness is man's deepest need and highest achievement. Think about that, it's true. Forgiveness is what every person on earth needs. And it's also when you give it, it's your greatest achievement because it's not easy. If you can come to that place in your life and you can look at somebody and truly, as Jesus said here, from your heart, forgive that person, you have really achieved something. We don't think of achievement that way. Think of achievement as something we do with our talents, some sort of recognition we receive. A great achievement is simply being able to forgive somebody else. When you've been hurt, say, I forgive you. I see people on television, on shows, that have had their children or their parents murdered, and they'll stand at the sentencing of the criminal, and they'll read a speech and say, I already forgave you. And I don't know how they do that. They say, I forgive you. You know why? Because they got to live their life. They say, I can't go the rest of my life with this hanging over my head. I can't go the rest of my life thinking about you, what you did. So I'm going to let that go. They do it for themselves. They do it so they can live. You can't get ahead if you're always trying to get even. I don't know who said that first, but it's true. You can't get ahead in life trying to get back, trying to get even with somebody. When you're hurt, you're trying to hurt them. It's a miserable way to live. It's a miserable way to go about daily living. It's trying to get even with everybody, trying to settle the score. Trying to get back. Several times in Scripture, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The only person allowed to do vengeance or revenge is God. We shouldn't be in the revenge business. Revenge is the punishment. Revenge is the getting back. Revenge is that kind of thing. We leave that to the judgment of God. Because He's the only one that's going to do that right. The Bible tells us what we're responsible for, how we handle those things. And we forgive, and when we're hurt, we return good. It's not easy. It's not easy to let go of a grudge. But Christians shouldn't have that as their objective either. It's to harbor that ill feeling, that grudge. We've said many times the definition of bitterness is old anger. It's not fresh anger. It's not something that happened 5 minutes ago. It's anger that has settled in your heart, and it just stays there, and it's stale and old, and it just eats you alive. It's got to go away. Vengeance, revenge, grudges, those can't be named among Christians. We let God do the revenge. We let Him handle that. Let Him repay. We simply have to show the forgiveness to others that we've received from God. When we start doing that more often, you're going to see the church grow. You're going to see better relationships in your families and in your workplaces and everywhere you go. You're going to find out that you're going to be forgiven a lot more maybe than you were used to being forgiven. The people are much more willing to say it's okay once you develop a forgiving attitude. And every time you say, I can't forgive, Think about that attitude when you pray. And if you're asking the Lord to forgive you, we can't forgive people if we don't understand it to begin with. We can't really do it and do it well if we don't understand what it's all about. Maybe someone tonight that needs to be forgiven by the Lord, because you sinned against God and that sin is still on your soul. That sin is still, you're still responsible for that sin. You're still guilty for that sin because you never responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You never let Him wash those sins away by His blood. You can come to Him tonight and do that. Do so freely. Whosoever will, let Him come. We'll baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord will continually forgive you of all unrighteousness as we continue to take those things to the Lord. If you have something else on your heart, another situation, a relationship that needs to be prayed about, you need to express a need to forgive someone and just maybe a prayer to develop a heart for that, a heart of forgiveness, we can also pray with you tonight. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.